I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later, mystery writer Elaine Veitz will join us. Bored Stiff is the latest in her Dead End Job series, and this time, Helen Hawthorne investigates a murder in a Florida beach town. The trail leads her back to her hometown, St. Louis. And in our soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, we're going to meet Matt McGuire of King Louis fame. He's managing what's described as a new concept in St. Louis, a food hall or emporium in the Central West End. That just opened this month. We begin with Talking Heads, a play that opens next week at the Gaslight Theater, produced by St. Louis Actors Studio. Please welcome director Lana Pepper and actors Glennis Bell, Alan Knoll, and Elizabeth Ann Townsend. Hi to all of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Great to be here.
Lana, this is the first time this has been produced in St. Louis.
I am not aware of any other production because I would have been there to see it. No, I think this is the first.
And I don't know a lot about it. It's a little interesting. It's not a conventional play, per se.
No, it isn't. It was originally produced by Alan Bennett as a series of radio programs. And the best actors in England at that time did these monologues for BBC. I heard, the first one that I heard was Maggie Smith doing A Bed Among the Lentils, which is my first encounter with that, and it was the beginning of my love with these monologues. And since I found it, Sister Mary Charity at Fontbonne gave me the cassette and said, I love this and I know you will. And that started my search to get all of them. It's easy to find them now, but it wasn't at that time. And I've been listening to them and reading them since the early 90s.
Hmm. Well, Glennis Bell, you play Susan, and Alana mentioned A Bed Among the Lentils.
Yes.
Yes, number one, I don't understand the title.
Well, you'll have to see it to understand that. But just to understand that Susan is a vicar's wife, and there are problems, but there are also joyful, wonderful things within it. The thing that I loved about the piece is Lana introduced me to it when we were on a long drive in Colorado, and every moment in it unfolds for you. He doesn't presume, you don't know everything at once. It's beautifully done. And I think it's a very British kind of thing.
Right, we'll talk about more your piece, about your piece here in a second.
Well, okay.
Alan
yes.
Knoll, A Chip in the Sugar is your part of the play.
It is. It's called A Chip in the Sugar. And the character that I play is Graham Whitaker. And he's kind of a funny little man who takes care of his mother and lives alone with his mother, and his world is rocked when his mother starts to see an older gentleman, a suitor. And then, a chip in a sugar refers to, it's just kind of, he's very meticulous, and he sees a little chip in a bowl of sugar.
And
he loses it. No, I don't know. So I cannot abide that. So, anyway.
The word we're looking for is anal.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Ann Townsend, Nights in the Gardens of Spain?
Yes, Rosemary Horrocks. She's a suburban housewife. And basically is a lonely lady who has been in a 30-year passionless marriage. She's a gardener, finds her creativity and love of life in the garden. And an extraordinary event happens that allows her to come to life in a way that she'd never been before.
Hmm. Lana, explain something to me. You know, usually when we think of a play, we think of a storyline and a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm simplifying it a little bit. But so this is three what appear to be unrelated monologues. Are they that?
There are threads that run through, common threads that run through all three monologues, but they are stories of just everyday people in England, but you can tell that they are all written by Alan Bennett. But he tells a wonderful story about these extraordinary stories about these ordinary people.
Could we talk a little bit more about the playwright and what you all know about him? Anyone?
Well, I have the unfortunate problem or not problem of doing the piece that Alan Bennett has done, and it's been
he performed himself,
right? Yeah. And it's just great, and I just find his writing really just beautiful, and it's very funny. I think it's funny rehearsing this, if I could say. Mm-hmm. We all have rehearsed it separately, so it's been great. We don't have to be there that much. No, I'm just kidding. but now that we all come together and we watch each other, I mean, I hear common threads that are woven throughout. So I kind of think, Steve, this is just my opinion, that the audience will glean their theme throughout. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be something different to each one, but there's a common thing that I pick up on when I hear each one, so that they all go together like that. That's what I think.
This is my first exposure to Alan Bennett, so this has just been an amazing journey.
Well, then it's a first-time experience. What kind of strikes you about it that's different?
Well, one of the things that was different was the timeline, trying to decide, was it today, was it yesterday, is it 2 weeks, is it a month? But because the timeline is an inner one as opposed to a linear one, as she's revealing to the audience and connecting with them about how her soul, it's a timeline of the soul. So that's been really, really fascinating. And I loved learning this.
Is that sort of true for all the characters, all the monologues?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. It's a soul journey, mm-hmm. all of them take.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you don't know what's going on. I live in New York and ride the subway, and I look at people and I think, there's something enormous going on in your life, and I have no idea, and I'm just looking at these plain faces. And you don't communicate on the subway. You don't make eye contact or anything like that.
At your own risk.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You just remain inside, and you see all these people, and you know that there are extraordinary things within them. And he puts that out there. I mean, these are monologues that are directed. You talk directly to the audience, basically, and you tell your lives. And so there aren't any lies. It's absolute truth going out there, which I think is amazing.
Yes,
amazing.
I agree.
Lana, Alan Bennett had a birthday yesterday, was it?
I think so, yes.
He's in his 80s, I think.
83, I think, yes. 83 or maybe 84 now. And he just had a play open at the National Theater in London called People.
Anything in movies or television we might be familiar with? Or?
Movie, the Madness of King George. He did the play The History Boys that won the Tony Award in 2007 for Best Play. He's written a lot of scripts.
Well, since he's been around for so long and since this piece has been out for a long time, why never produced here, do you think?
I wondered about that because I know it's been produced twice in New York. With kind of a rotating cast of actors, because there are a lot of different pieces. So you make a selection of which pieces you want to do.
So, I mean, it's not just the three we're doing here.
No,
there are others, and that was a very hard decision. I got a group of friends together at my house one evening and read them different ones, and they voted. A Bed Among the Lentils was always going to be in there, but the Knights in the Garden of Spain was sort of a toss-up with another one. So it was they're all wonderfully, beautifully written.
How many are there altogether?
12 that I know of, and they came out in sixes, the first set and then the second.
So you could do this every year for years and be different every year.
Oh, Glennis has a plan to do three of them in one evening herself.
I would love to. I absolutely love them. And I said, Lana, we could do three of these and we could tour it around the country because they don't require much because it is called Talking Heads. So you literally could sit at a table and do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing.
That's actress Glennis Bell. We're also talking to cast members Alan Knoll and Elizabeth Ann Townsend and director Lana Pepper about Talking Heads, which St. Louis Actors Studio is going to present at the Gaslight Theater next weekend and the weekend after that. Alan, you mentioned earlier about common threads among all three characters. Could you be more specific what you mean by that?
Well, there is a great deal. I mean, they are people who are kind of searching. And they are a little bit on the lonely side, but there is a great deal of – they're all very, very witty and very, very funny. it's kind of, this will sound kind of weird. They remind me of, you know, the Beatles song, Eleanor Rigby. They remind me of the characters that McCartney describes in their Father McKenzie. And they remind me of these little people, these little British people and their stories that, as you say, we don't know until we, you know, dig a little deeper. And the common threads are they're seeking different varied forms of happiness, and they're trying to escape from different things that really bother them, like especially my guy is.
It's the story of all our lives.
Right. Exactly.
Sounds like to me. Let's be a little more specific about the characters then. Glennis, you're Susan. You're a vicar's wife.
A vicar's wife.
But are you a little like wound up tight a little?
Extraordinarily tight. Unsuited to the job. And criticized by everyone in the church, and eventually does something about the whole thing. I mean, I don't want to give anything away on it, but let's just say it is an extraordinary experience, and what happens to her is a wonderful and terrible thing at the same time.
Well, you enjoy your cocktails, I think.
I believe that's there, yes. We do enjoy our cocktails, specifically the Tio Pepe Sherry.
But your husband's a vicar. You'd think that he'd be really in tune to you and sensitive to your needs, wants, and desires.
Oh, not at all. Only to the parish, thank you.
The women in the parish love him.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Yes. The fan club, as she calls them.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that a hint about something?
I'm not.
All right, we'll move along.
Nope.
Alan.
Yes.
Graham. You're mild. I forget how you described him. Sort of
a mild,
a funny
man.
Little man. Is
he
what
is
you
a
said.
Funny little man? Yes. He's a mild mannered kind of a. He. The main thing that he is his world has taken a turn where he. It's over the years he takes care of his mother. He lives with his mother, and that has become his kind of his job, and it's also become his identity.
Mm-hmm. And okay, I see problems right there.
Right. It's like the English Norman Bates. It's not at all that. He just has this is, you know, when you invest everything into your life like this, if anything happens, it happens to upend it or disturb it, it causes him a lot of problems. And then as the scene or monologue reveals, we find out some things about Graham that we didn't know
so
at the outset.
He's sort of like the little kid whose single mom gets married and changes life, only you're like 40.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So is the guy a bad guy?
I don't think so.
No.
He's a sweet, nebbish.
But he doesn't have his personal life figured out, does he?
He does not. And he's trying to, though.
Good luck with that.
Yes.
Elizabeth Ann, Rosemary.
Yes.
You don't look lonely, but...
Oh, but Rosemary does. Believe me. Trust me.
Why is she lonely?
Well, she's in a passionless marriage to a man who, how she puts it, sex is something that they never could agree on what to call it. He just got embarrassed. So, and they sleep in separate beds. And she just sort of lives in her own dream and with a garden and like in the shade, as you might say, in mm-hmm. the shade. And then totally unexpected to her. She meets someone that certainly becomes her best friend, but also she just realizes that there's so much more to life, and she's never the same. So,
And that's her neighbor. Is that who you're talking about?
That's her neighbor, yeah. Yes. A tragedy happens there, and her neighbor, they have a friendship relationship that changes both of their lives. So it's... fascinating journey.
Lana, what was involved in deciding? So you had 12 characters you could have chosen from. Mm-hmm. You chose three. Is mm-hmm. it always done in threes, by the way?
No,
not necessarily.
It just however much time you want to have.
Well, it seems like to me that there must have been a lot of consideration given to like what order these three are going to go in
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. I switched the order not too long ago. I always, since it's two women and a man, I always wanted to have a chip in the sugar in the middle of the women.
Yes.
But yeah, it where to put them was a big decision. You think about the very last line of the last one,
uh-huh.
and that's what's in the audience's mind as they leave. And that's how I decided which one I wanted to be last.
So is this like a one act with no intermission then?
No, we're having one intermission. The two of them are going, and then A Bed Among the Lentils is after intermission.
Let's go over a few things. St. Louis Actors Studio presents Alan Bennett's Talking Heads. It will open next Friday, I guess it is?
Yes.
So it's Friday and Saturdays at 8 p.m. with a 2 o'clock afternoon matinee on Sunday. And then the week after, I think you have a Thursday performance as well.
It starts on Thursday. And after that Sunday matinee, there is a high tea fundraiser after both Sunday matinees.
Uh-huh. What's a high tea fundraiser?
Well, we needed...
Well, high tea is more than tea, right?
High tea means more food. That's what it means. And I must add, we'll have more than tea. We'll have a little wine also. But we have very good actors here, and they're all equity actors and equity actors, and we brought Glennis in from New York. So we need a little more money for this, so that's why we're having the tea.
Well, high tea.
High tea.
That's the wine part, I assume.
Since you brought it up, talk a little bit, just briefly, about the relationship you have with some of these actors. You said Elizabeth Ann is new to the St. Louis acting scene, right? But I think you've worked with Alan and Glennis before.
I did. I directed Sylvia down at Stray Dog Theater, and Alan was the husband, mm-hmm. and we had a great time working
great.
Together. That was a fun production. And I met Glennis years ago. I don't even know how long ago it was. Back in the late 80s, she was in town at the Rep doing Steel Magnolias, and I was an assistant to Susan Gregg, who was at the Rep. I was Susan's uh-huh. assistant. And we met then, and we have been friends since then. And then when I wanted to produce Martha Mitchell, Glennis was the one to be Martha Mitchell.
Right.
And so that was about 4 years ago.
And how'd you drag Elizabeth Ann into all of this?
I didn't know Elizabeth. Rick Dildine at the Shakespeare Festival.
Which you were in on from the beginning?
Yes, and I asked Rick if he had any suggestions, and he gave me Elizabeth's name. That's
Did
how
he?
I, yeah, that's
you didn't
how
know.
I
didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, hello, thank you, Rick.
So that's how that happened, and we met at auditions. I never met her.
Yeah.
I might mention, too, that on Thursday, the Thursday performance is, I guess, a benefit. Thursday the 16th, the wine and hors d'oeuvre. There's going to be wine and hors d'oeuvres ahead of time, 6 p.m., and it's going to feature Nancy Kranzberg in the second half.
Yes, that's a fundraiser for the St. Louis Actors Studio.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to that. We know Nancy. Well, thank you so much. We look forward to this. It's Talking Heads opening a week from tonight at the Gaslight Theaters. St. Louis Actors Studio is the production company. And if you'd like to know more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to their websites and all the information you need to know. We want to thank actors Glennis Bell, Ellen Knoll, and Elizabeth Ann Townsend. Nice to see you all.
Thank you so much.
And director Lana Pepper. Thanks, Lana, for being here.
Thank you.
Coming up next, a profile of a new restaurant concept on Soundbites, and later, mystery writer Elaine Veitz. This is St. Louis Public Radio.